This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Okay, let's test your knowledge of Durham history with this little quiz. Name the first publicly supported liberal arts college for African Americans in the nation. Why is Durham called the City of Medicine? Number three, what was the original name of Duke University? And four, what did explorer John Lawson call Durham when he chronicled the region in 1701? The answers to these and other questions about the Bull City will be answered by the proposed Museum of Durham History, which announced the hire of co-directors recently, bringing it one step closer to existence. One of those co-directors, Katie Spencer, joins me in the studio today. Tom Krakauer is past chairman of the board and current CEO. And Katie and Tom, welcome to the program. Good to have you here.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, and before we get any farther into the program, answer to number one, North Carolina Central, first publicly supported liberal arts college for African Americans in the country, right here in little old Durham. Durham called the City of Medicine, of course, because there are more than 300 medical and health-related companies in town. Annual payroll of $5 billion. I'm auditioning to do the Macy's Parade next year. That's why I'm reading this way. And Duke originally, of course, called Trinity College. But here's one that you may not have known. John Lawson called Durham the flower of the Carolinas. There you go. And now Durham has been named the most tolerant city in America, according to the Beast. So flower of the Carolinas and the most tolerant city. All of these things, Tom, are going to be, I guess, part of the museum. Why does Durham need a history museum?
Durham has an amazing background. And the history museum will allow people to ask the questions that are important to them and come and see an engaging place. So that's why a museum is important. It's not sufficient to mention that every other major city in Durham, I mean in North Carolina, has a history museum. That's nice, that's important, but that's not enough to say why we need one. And we need to be able to tell the amazing stories of Durham.
Katie, you come from the Museum of the New South in Charlotte. Is there an art to creating a kind of local or regional museum?
Absolutely. And I think that the key is including people in the process. And what we're doing at the museum here is a very similar model to the Levine Museum in Charlotte. And we are building off of the assumption that sharing stories and listening to other people's stories is central to the health of a community and to building a community. And so that's important to everything that we do and everything the museum does. So as we are preparing exhibits down the road and programming, it's so important to have community members collaborating with scholars and adding their voices to the mix and creating something that is a partnership like that.
What do you think it's going to look like? Give us a sense of the exhibits that you would see, particularly here in Durham.
Okay. I think we want to be sure to cover some of the major themes that you think of when you think of Durham. Certainly the tobacco history, history of innovation and enterprise, history of race relations and Black Wall Street, all that will definitely be there. But we want to be sure to include some of the voices that don't always make it in. So not just the leaders, but also the people who have been working kind of at the grassroots level throughout all of that history. And so the community is a source for that information.
Well, how do you get that information? And then how do you exhibit that in a place like a museum?
Sure. I think you exhibit it through interactive exhibits where people can, add their experience by writing a little exhibit label below the exhibit label that you see. Or maybe you have an exhibit that is a photo exhibit that then invites the community to go out and take their own photos and add those to the record. Or to bring in, maybe you have an event where you invite the community to bring in their objects and interpret those objects together. So those are a couple of ideas. There are various models out there that we are drawing on for inspiration. And one that we really look to is the StoryCorps booth that goes around the country. And Durham needs that kind of thing. And we'd like to have that in the museum, too, a place where people come in, they sit down, and they conduct oral histories with one another. And that can be a way for generations to connect in Durham. That can be a wealth of information on history that we might not have even known about. So that's another thing that I see in the museum.
We know, Tom, we see more and more of these kind of exhibits, but they're also online, multimedia kinds of exhibits where people can go. Is there a need for brick and mortar anymore in the museum world?
Absolutely. The reason why one has a museum is to be able to touch the real stuff. And what one sees online is interesting, but it doesn't engage you in the same way that the real stuff is. So we're thinking of having a resource center where people can sit down and see what other people have said about Durham history and see the things that allow people to learn for themselves what it's all about.
Tell us about the History Beneath Our Feet project.
Unique in the country. We've been able to identify all of the streets in downtown historic district and the Hayti-Fayetteville Street corridor, the people for whom those streets were named and their contribution to Durham's history. That has been put on the web, connected to the museum's website. And so if you come to work every day and you want to know who was Vickers? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm driving down Vickers Street. You can go there and say, aha, that's who Vickers was. It's incredibly important. The first month that we had it online, we had about 38,000 hits on our website for people who were interested in the project and wanted to learn more about Durham that way.
Who was 15501? That's what I want to know. And why are there so many of them? So
yes, that's true.
And there are so many famous people and important people to the history of Durham that they have to name one street after all of them so that the names can change along the way.
Or Cornwallis. I mean, no wonder he lost.
That's right. He got lost on
at
the
Yorktown
way.
Because he wasn't able to find his way out of Durham and get down to Yorktown.
Well, tell us about funding for this project. First of all, how much is it going to cost?
The upfit and the exhibits for the new building, and I need to explain that, will be around $200,000. And we've got a very active board that's raising money to make that happen. We are negotiating with the city at this point for a piece of downtown property, and they are working through the paperwork, but it's got to get approved by the city staff and city council before we can say yes.
So you got a place in mind. Can't talk about it yet.
I cannot tell it yet. But if you were downtown and drove around the loop, you would see this beautiful little building that will become what we're calling the history hub.
Well, you know, Katie, like a lot of cities, Durham has a kind of active historic preservation going on, and we're sitting in an example of that right now at American Tobacco, other places too. What's the relationship between a single place like a museum and the sort of ongoing efforts to make the city visibly historic throughout the city?
Yeah, I think that the museum really wants to complement rather than duplicate those efforts. We certainly are on the same team with all of the, I mean, all of that basically asks the questions, who lived in these places? And so we want to tell those stories as people ask those questions. And it's wonderful to be able to build a museum like this in a community where people do appreciate the history so much. So I really think that those things do go hand in hand. We imagine at the History Hub that Tom just talked about having a map that points people out after they have come in, points people out to the other places where they can really dig deep into one particular part of the history of Durham. You know, there's some great historic sites. There's the Hayti Center. There's all kinds of things going on. So we want to direct people to those. We want to partner with those places. So we see ourselves working closely with them.
Tom, Durham certainly has a surprising history. For people who don't know it, are always surprised at how complex and rich it is. What's been the biggest surprise for you in doing this project?
Well, I think the most wonderful thing is that Durham has done a great job of taking the historic properties and reusing them as places for people like the American Tobacco facility, rather than tearing them down and putting up something, you know, steel and glass. Most people don't realize, though, you know, we think about Duke and the tobacco heritage, but by the 1900s, there were more people in Durham employed in the textile industry than they were in the tobacco cigarette industry. And that's one of the things that caught my fancy.
Well, we will find out much, much more, and probably soon the location of the building, but that's to be announced. Katie and Tom, thanks so much for being on the program today.
Thanks for having us.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Tom Krakauer, past chairman of the board, and Katie Spencer, one of the co-directors of the proposed Museum of Durham History. For more information about the project, you can go to museumofdurhamhistory.org. Coming up after a short break, a new documentary by three Chapel Hill journalists explores the after effects of Argentina's dirty war. On the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, please stay with us.